what is becoming apparently clear is that we certainly are going to finish a lot earlier than we had anticipated. It's no crime to finish early. Oops, what is going on with this paper? May we then get the responses to the questions? One of our members is has fallen ill, so she had to be taken to a clinic. Yeah, the captain is has gone AWOL. The captain has gone AWOL. Mrs. Stoller has fallen ill, eh? So she has had to be taken by Mrs. Stain to clinic here in Parliament. Mr. Captain?
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to start by saying, and I'm trying to speak softly because I can see, I want to apologize to the honourable members, if there was a misunderstanding about the interpretation of their roles. I respect this institution and I respect the honourable members, and I want unreservedly apologise if there was a misunderstanding that I imply that you are not. You shouldn't do the work that you are elected to. So I hope you can accept it, honourable members. Some of these questions that you've asked, I don't have the ready-made answers here. I'm going to try as far as possible to answer them as truthfully, as honestly as possible. The first correction I want to make, maybe. I think Honourable Member Van Dalen raised it, is the issue about the MRA amendments. We have submitted the MRA amendments to Cabinet. We have not received if it was approved or not. So can I just clarify that matter? It's not for me to speak about it. Cabinet will speak about that issue. Where do I start? Secondly, maybe part of this process, the intention was not to say honourable members cannot go and fetch those forms. And Honourable Van Dalen, honourable member, and you said it correctly, that any South African citizen, even if you are not staying at the coast, have the right to apply for those fishing rights. So I also want to clarify that matter. I think honourable member Mr. Mbanga have started off with the questions. Please accept my apology unreservedly if I have indicated that I'm blaming you for our challenges. I think there was a misunderstanding about the specific vessel. You are right, Lillian Nkoye is as explained in the minutes or in the presentation. The two vessels that who don't require any maintenance or engine work is those two vessels that I've mentioned, which are the Victoria Mthenge and the Route First. Now, it is also going to be inappropriate for me to say SAMHSA is lying or not lying. They are a very important partner for us. We are working very closely with them. They've been assisting us. But I just wanted to maybe clarify the issue about these things, about the certificates and how it happens. Lloyd's International does the surveys on the vessels. So when they've completed surveys, SAMHSA is the South African authority that then provides the certification of any vessel that can sail on our seas. And it's not one certificate, it's a number of certificates. And I've explained that this particular one was, it's not that our officials, because they've been sailing on these vessels before, this was an additional requirement around specific issues which they have introduced. So they've completed the training today, they're completing the training today, and also during the break we've contacted, I've asked people to contact SAMHSA, and we will interact with them tomorrow to hopefully get the final certification. It is going to be illegal for us to sail any, like even the sailing of those two vessels from Simonstown to Cape Town to test the engines. We required for that only day a special exemption. We had to inform them about it. So the issue about the, I think several honorable members raised this matter about the what is the alternative that should be should govern this process now with the oil spills. I don't know how to explain it, because any of those alternatives would be sought by Department of Environmental Affairs to ensure, as the custodians of our environment, that the pollution is under control. I related to that question, I think one of the honorable members have asked about how many of these kinds of vessels are there in the country, and how many people have been trained. I don't have those information at my disposal right now. I've asked one of my colleagues to note that, and that could be one of the issues that we can come back to. Honorable Mbanga, you have asked us what is the impact, the issue about research. We were able to do all of the impact is basically is that we couldn't use our vessel to do the research, and we had to contract in, as said earlier, industry vessels to do some of those researches. We have not, any of the impacts around research has not impact on any livelihoods of the industry, because we were able to work with them around ensuring that all the necessary research has been done, which requires a TAC or a TAE allocation. We have met with the industry yesterday. We met with them yesterday also to give them a briefing about the status of the vessels, and we put our heads together around what if happens. So we are in constant contact with them, and I think there's an understanding that we will have an alternative by There's a specific study that must take place. Johan, what is that?
South Coast. It's a South Coast Hague Survey. It's taking place in October.
So if Afrikaner is not ready by October, we have agreed around what is alternative that should be. You are also correct, Honourable Member Banga, around the Afrikaner and its old age. Just want to find the specifics now. We have made, we've estimated to repair the Afrikaner would be around 14 million rand now. We have then did a MTF submission, or put in an MTF submission, and in Treasury our department has been asked to apply for what they call a competitive economic competitive fund, and we have made a comprehensive argument around the replacement of Afrikaner. We've estimated if we do the repairs now, that the Afrikaner will be ready for be able to do work for between 4 and 5 years, and in that period we've already started. The estimated amount to replace the Afrikaner is about 900 million rand. We're also considering working with Department of Science and Technology, with Department of Environmental Affairs, and see how we can work together. But as fisheries of DEF, we have made that case already about the replacement. The small-scale fisheries implementation plan. Before I go there, I think there's another matter that you've raised, Honourable Banga, to the chairperson. The issue about the responsibility. We welcome you can attend any of our meetings, and that's your right. The only issue that I've raised is that how we treat each other, and I think that's we can find each other around that matter. The implementation plan of the small-scale fisheries has been completed.
Maybe we should really take a discussion on this one. I attended one press briefing by the department where Mr. van Dalen was in that same meeting. To an extent, you need to make a distinction as to whether, you know, you can be as robust as you are here. Maybe you can, one may argue. The issue really gets to be the department officials, when they relate with us, there is clearly an unequal relationship, because if you like, we are bosses to them. When you are in an environment where there is everybody else, you obviously have an edge on the department. Now here is your constituency that you are dealing with. You want to say it is your constituency, and obviously you will have, because you shall have had an edge on the department. You obviously are on a better footing in that community. Now, as to how we then take that process forward, I think that's where the issue is. I would imagine that's the kind of dilemma they find themselves in. It's one thing to go and do an oversight, look at what is going on, and so on and so forth. It's something else to go and be in a participatory environment where there are communities out there, you are a member of parliament, and they obviously know you, you obviously know them. And the kind of relationship that is going to emerge out of that, it is obviously going to be a tension-ridden one. As to how we deal with that, it is something that we really have to engage in among ourselves. It's not only you, I'm sure we have others from among ourselves. And it doesn't only get confined with yourself, Mr. Van Dalen. It's a matter that we all have to deal with ourselves as members of parliament in the committee. I think this is something that, as I say, you know, that we need to take a discussion on. That would be my recommendation going forward in dealing with those kinds of issues. I even hear you now. You're not even sure as to how you respond. You keep on saying, you know, but, you know, and so on and so forth. You are literally put on the spot. It's a matter that belongs to us, and we need to deal with it ourselves. Is that fine? Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Members. On this small-scale fishery implementation plan, as we said on the 11th of June, we finalized the plan. Now, what we undertook with the fishing communities and the small-scale fishing stakeholders is that we will now consult on that plan. And from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we will have consultative meetings across the coast again with a number of different teams where we will now present the implementation plan to the fishery, small-scale fishery constituency. We met on yesterday with the labor federations, some of the constituencies of NETLEC, where we presented that plan to them. And now next week we're having a roadshow to go and present that plan and get the inputs from the fishing, small-scale fishing communities. The issue about interim relief, like as I said, all of the other is an exemption. The way interim relief is so famous in the Western Cape and Northern Cape is that it deals with West Coast rock lobster. Now, in the Eastern Cape, in KZN, there are other species that are on exemption, which people get on an annual basis. Now, through this process, we are making it's part of the small-scale fishing allocation process. And we are hopeful because interim relief is also a swear word in the fishing communities. They don't want this interim thing. So we hope if everything goes well that we will be able to allocate, get rid of the interim relief and allocate rights to the small-scale fishers. But our plan B, you see, I don't want even to say the plan B because I'm afraid the plan B will become the headline. But our plan B is, if we are not able to do that in time, because on the 15th of October, if I'm not mistaken, Dennis, the 1st of October, I'm talking about the West Coast rock lobster, it becomes available. So we have tight time frames, but if they require an extension, we will not make it a very long extension. That is plan B. Plan A, first prize, is to be finalizing the small-scale fishing rights so that people are not dependent on interim relief, but they have rights which is long-term and they are able to do to better their lives around those things. I hope I've addressed all of the issues of Honorable Member Mbanga. Honorable Member Steyn.
Only one, the first one.
Which
negative.
Oh, I thought I'd talk about a little bit about the impact on, but let me see to you, Chairperson, to see if I can. The impact, obviously, with not having vessels on the sea, the impact would be negative. That's obvious. However, we are also deploying other resources to deal first. As I said, we've dealt with the issue about the research, so there's no impact on research negatively. Particularly around the allocation of TACs. The impact on poaching, we are working jointly with other law enforcement agencies. We also have other smaller what do you call this, jet skis and small rubber ducks and so on, and that can deal with the issue about poaching. Our integrated fishery security strategy will also looking at not after people have poached already that we catch them, but we are trying to put preventative measures in at those areas where there's slipways and where people can go to sea. So those are the things that we're looking at. This integrated fishery security strategy has been discussed broadly in with at different levels of some of the law enforcement agencies. We've also made it part of our request through this economic competitive fund to see if we can get the resources, because it's based on technology that we want to employ to secure our coast. Honourable Chairperson, some of the questions that Honourable Steyn have raised, I think it relates to once again about the issue about the vessels, specifically dealing with the one dealing with the oil spill. As I said, this matter. The alternative that must be secured would have been through the department that is primarily responsible. Currently, we are not in a position to assist. Also, as I said, around the certification, it would be illegal for us. We have asked for exemptions with SAMHSA. It would be illegal for us to utilize our vessels, and if it doesn't have that certification, because if the state does it, it sets a bad precedent also with privately owned vessels. So we want to be an example that we comply with all of the legal requirements for us to go onto the sea. I'm not sure what. Plan B I can have there, Honourable Steyn. Maybe if there's suggestions that honourable members have, I would be glad to be advised accordingly. The application forms, maybe it didn't come out clearly. The application forms is not a state secret. You see, I also get reminded of these things because I work intimately with it. Is that the firstly, anyone, as I said before, can go and fetch a form. But we would advise the people that have real interest in the fishing, because, you know, I've been phoned by people from Limpopo, what I said, you know, if you can get the form, we can't prevent you from applying. Now, the form on itself, there's no what do you call it, due date. But people get a package which in the government gazette, those deadlines, due dates have been explained. There's an explanatory note which accompanies these forms which explains all of those details. The one question that you raise is the issue about the other languages. Now, I don't know, maybe if I didn't come out clearly. These forms are available for explanatory purposes in those four languages, not for the you must apply in the English language. You know, for me, coming from Kakamas, I would have preferred if you can apply in Afrikaans, because like now, I'm struggling speaking English because that's my mother tongue. I dream, sleep, eat in Afrikaans. But to make it administratively possible for us around managing the application process, we ask people to apply in English. But the forms are there to be explained to them, and I just checked through during the break also that in some areas where we would welcome, if you say in some areas, like the Honorable Chairperson have told me there in PE perhaps, people are not explaining. So when you come and fetch the form, you should be explained in detail, page by page, section by section around the form. You can, maybe again, Honorable Stein, through the Chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, someone can come and fetch the form on your behalf, but you must mandate that person to say, Johan, he wants to apply, but he can't be here. Can you please, Desmond, can you go and fetch that form for me? Comes with a letter, because we want to, it's like the IEC, we want to compare who received the forms, which companies, which individuals, and who applied for it, so that there's an administrative database management issue around this thing. It's not to discriminate anyone. The receipt of the forms, you can do the same. You can ask someone to come and drop that form for you. We hope maybe this is something that we must sit in. I'm taking your advice around this. Maybe the issue about the clarity that people. We had three sessions of training with our staff to say to them, you can't physically write the people's details in the thing. Because if we do that, honorable members, if my officials fill in the form of a specific visa who can't read and write, tomorrow if that person doesn't get the right, the fishing right, they will say it's because of the department official that misled them in that, or ensure that they don't get the right. So we advise people, you bring someone in your family, or if you can't read and write, to come and assist you. That's why we have an independent auditing company to monitor all of these things, to ensure that there's fairness, there's transparency around this matter. But we will you see, let me tell you the story. I met with a group of officers who complained about the forms last Saturday or Sunday. Yeah, Sunday, last Sunday. And I explained to them, you know, if you think you're going to impress us by having, you want to fill in your form with lawyers' letters and so on, that is not what we want. If we can see this fisher person have tried, maybe they didn't, they don't write the nice English or whatever, we're not going to judge people about those things. The issue is just we need to have some of that information to make, to empower the panel that will look at it, who must get these rights or not. Okay, on the Gharib Dam, my colleagues have given me a page here. Oh, yes, Johan just reminded me, Honorable Stein have asked the issue about the two-week gap. In our wisdom or lack of wisdom, we thought, let's break the application process. That you give an opportunity, the phase one, where people can come and fetch the forms, they get explained the forms, they don't go home, and they don't understand the forms. Because we could have had one from the 22nd of July to the 13th of September. We could say that could have is the application period. So we said, no, let's break this up so that people get the forms. we, as you have also requested us, we must explain and assist people. That's what we. This is something that didn't happen in the previous allocation, where we now explaining people and assisting them. So tomorrow is the deadline when you can receive, get the forms. So anyone who comes Monday won't be able to get the form because they won't be able to apply. Now, from Monday onwards till the 2nd of September, you have now time to consult, understand, make up your mind if you want to apply for these rights. We make not one day, we make 2 weeks where you can submit. So it is in that same places where we had the forms, we received the forms, in that same places you can go and submit the applications. Maybe as an introduction, Honorable Chairperson, around the aquaculture issue. Aquaculture for us is regarded as a priority sector. And that's why we have this partnership with DTI, the ADEP partnership. There are four new projects which have been approved by DTI and ourselves. The potential for these projects is to create more than 300 new jobs, and it's going to be about 30 million rand for in that partnership. I think there was a specific question that one of the honorable members asked about this partnership. Our department with DTI has also gone on a roadshow, a joint roadshow. There's three roadshows that has been held already. There's four or five more that is going to come around explaining exactly how this partnership works for people with interest in aquaculture. The three provinces that were visited was Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, and Limpopo. On the issue about the Gariep Dam, it functions now, it's operating. It's a hatchery, it's a demonstration site, it's supposed to be a training site and as research. The two species that are there is catfish, tilapia. We know there were some. We know there's some problems around this thing. My information is that the Chinese government has signed the exchange letter last Friday, which our minister will now sign after the cabinet Lekgotla. This other question that Honorable Steyn have asked is around, I think in the report, maybe you've not checked or there was a mishap. There are six government farms in Free State. Okay. So now I'm just want to get my bearings. So the Gariep Dam is sorted. Honorable Van Dalen, I think I said it before, I'm not going to say anyone is lying or not. We want to keep that relationship with SAMHSA. It's a very important partner for us. This is a matter that I think we will be able to resolve between us. The issue about rigorous oversight, I think we've agreed about this. The legislative review. Maybe I shouldn't speak the language comfortable. I was misinterpreted around the thing. This legislative amendments is very fundamental for us. It is small. What I meant, it was small in what we've proposed, that we've reduced it after extensive comments, negotiations with the industry and with our South African public in general. So we've reduced all of those major changes that we proposed in the original draft of the MRA amendment bill. to now, it's between, I think, between 5 and 7 amendments that we are proposing. But those amendments are not minor, because it is crucial for us to ensure a dispensation where small-scale fishers are, will have a long-term livelihood in this sector. The issue about the fishing harbors, there is a joint committee between us, the National Department of Public Works, and Treasury, and the City of Cape Town, and the Western Cape Premier's Office, where we discuss some of these issues. There's a draft report out, and our understanding is also that process has not been concluded around exactly where and who and by whom the harbors would be managed. We, of course, have a very clear interest because we have been everywhere that we go, fisher folk tells us that they are continuously being crowded out from accessing harbors. There's major developments in certain areas. So our interest is to keep the fishing character of some of these harbors and even pursuing to declare more fishing harbors in other provinces also. Because as soon as it becomes a general function of the local government, it could be regarded as of all of the other priorities in development can take place, which can create jobs, but it will ensure if you create mini waterfronts of all of these harbors, that our fishing community won't have access. So that debate continues around what is the best model around managing the fishing harbors. I hope I have answered Honourable Member Van Dalen's issue around this thing. We agree with Honourable Member Van Dalen. There is a concurrent constitutional responsibility around harbors in general, and that's why there's this joint committee that we have. Honourable Abrams, I think the Honourable Chairperson have clarified the issue about the tender situation. I hope that that is sufficient. The infrastructure work that must be done on the harbors, there's a major infrastructure program which is managed by the National Department of Public Works, where they've invested millions. Unfortunately, I don't have this number figure now with me. Millions of rand in most of these harbors. We are just managing the day-to-day exit and entrance, basic security around the harbors. We also have, as I said earlier, an EPWP project which creates about close to 600 jobs, job opportunities for unemployed people on these harbors. I think, Chairperson, if I'm not mistaken, this is the question the Honourable Abraham have asked, and I think I've answered it. How many fisheries and companies have been assisted through the ADEP? There are 4 projects now. It's about 300 potential new jobs that will be assisted. The issue about Africana, I think I've clarified that issue. The MRA amendment bill, the process will be guided as soon as Cabinet make announcement on that matter. Thank you, Chairperson.
There are 3 fundamental areas that we had spoken about. That seek to take us forward The one area relates to the amendment to the legislation itself, a process being in motion. That's a process that we shall have to deal with at the time when that bill comes through to Parliament. We did listen to the department expressing their views on that matter. The second one relates to a collaboration between the various departments. I would imagine that shall also include SALGA in dealing with the disasters at sea waters, something that continues unabated. A number of those companies, they get away with murder. Departments have been identified, transport, trade and industry, environment department, law enforcement agents, and of course also agriculture, forest and fisheries department. In addition to that, we are also talking about SALGA. Sorry? That's part of the law enforcement agents. Now, what we are saying here as a committee is that we are agreed on that for us to speedily engage with that process so that we set in motion a plan that seeks to address and attend to a number of, you know, such disasters as and when they come. The penalty meted insofar as your Environment Management Act is concerned really becomes, if you like, you know, peanut for those companies. These are multi-million, if not multi-billion companies. Now, that's one other area. And then, of course, the department has submitted a requisition for 900 million rand for a replacement of Africana. Equally something that I would imagine I speak on behalf of all of us when we say we should take it upon ourselves that we really rally behind the department on this, precisely because of the amount of work required to be done by such a vessel. I think those are the three major issues that are emanating out of a brief that we got from the department. Unless members have other specific areas. Of course, the general other issues have been more about the vessels and the state of readiness, and then, of course, also the right allocation processes. And then the harbors, the reports that we are getting from the department about a process that is currently in motion. We have a report already in place out of that interaction between province, local, and department, including Public Works Department. So I don't know if we have any further issues to raise, members. Mr. Van Dalen?
Yes, Mr. Chairperson. Thank you very much for that opportunity. You know, I also, when Honorable Abrams, he talks about his car that you take to the testing station, it's to simplify the matter and to explain how it works. But I've also known how SAMHSA operate, and you know, when you apply for a license or a seaworthy certificate, especially on a big boat and so sophisticated boat like we have, it takes weeks to actually do this and get everything ready. And you know, maybe the acting DDG can tell us when they applied to for the certification, because I think they my information is that they only applied this week to have this certification done. And now to come in here and blame SAMHSA for this lapse is not the right thing to do. I think it's morally incorrect that you do that. So that is the one point. And then You talk about the public participation process and the roadshows you are going to have, and it's to collect input from different people, and it all sounds good and well. But, you know, the minister has made an announcement that this has gone through cabinet already, and cabinet approved it. So what is the meaning of this public participation process and gathering comment going to help if it's already been through cabinet, you know? It seems like... I don't think those two can run parallel to each other. You do public participation, and then you get the outcome of that, and then you send it to cabinet. Otherwise, how... It's a waste of time, I think, if you go after the fact and get comment on and you want to incorporate it, it just doesn't work for me. And it just sounds like it's very haphazard. That's the word that I can think of. And then on the 22nd of June, I think there was a I can't call it a riot, but there was a sitting at your office. And this sitting had to do with a military veterans that was very unhappy about being fired and other people being hired because they were not correctly aligned or something like that. And I think it's quite important that you would take this committee into your confidence and explain to us why there was this sitting at your office. Or maybe I have it all wrong and there was no sitting and you can tell us my information is incorrect. And then, you know, you have explained about these forms, and I want to come back to these forms. You have explained that you have the explanatory notes, which are these documents that explain to you exactly what each question does. And I got it in English. I asked them for another language. They didn't have it available at the time to have it in Afrikaans. They gave it to me in English. I specifically asked for it because people phoned me for it, and that's why I went down there. I didn't go down there in the beginning to... want to apply, but I went there and I couldn't get hold of it unless I applied, unless I gave my ID and these forms. So I was forced to do it, to do my oversight work. I want to say that as well. So these forms are there, and they're all in English, and there's forms that are explaining what must be done in English and Afrikaans, and then the people have to go home and they have to fill in these forms in English. I mean... it just doesn't make sense. It would have been so easy to just translate these forms. I mean, the people could have gone there and asked for a form that was in his preferred language. You didn't have to give three forms in three or four different languages, or 15 languages. You could have just, I mean, it just seems that all these papers are translated and these forms are not. The most important part of this application. Then you say, well, you know, we will be very lenient when we judge these forms, and there's a certain... level of how you going to interpret the answers, because you can understand people are not talking English, but they are Afrikaans, and then maybe all the answers don't have to be so perfect in English, because you understand that they are Afrikaans. So, you know, that makes a mockery of this whole system. I mean, if you have a process in place that is going to be transparent and fair and everything else, then why would you come and say that here? If you are so convinced that this will not be able to be attacked in court, or people will be able to take this to court. And it just seems like I know you have, we've been warning for a year and a half already that this process is on the go. When Ms. Middleton was here, she assured us everything was in place. And what I can see now is that it was not actually in place, and you are busy with crisis management to see if you can get it out to help these people. And I can understand you really might want to help these people and get to an answer. But I think the way you are going about is not the right way. Then you talk about the fishing harbors in the Western Cape and how you are having talks and how there is a concurrent mandate from the city and province and national, and how the people in around these harbors are not being catered for at the moment, and how you have mismanaged it in the past, but how you're going to fix the problem. I mean, if it was so easy, why don't you just hand it over and put provisos in there that this is what we must do, and you give the management over to the people that can do it and can run with it. You obviously have too much to do, and you don't have time to do everything and do everything properly. I mean, surely it must be able to do that. I also went to a meeting with a fishing community of Mitchell's Plain last week on Thursday. And those people told me, they said, you know, we have to go very far. It's easy. Maybe we can have a little harbor here or a little slipway in Mitchell's Plain. They complained that they said their ships don't have a safe place that they can put them. And there is a fishing community in Mitchell's Plain that I actually, there's about 40 fishermen that came to see me, and they are all part of interim relief, and they're afraid if they apply for this now, they'll lose their interim relief, and nobody has been to see them. And I mean, these people are there, there's a big group of them. If you want me to take you to them, I will show them to you. Their fathers and their forefathers have all been fishing. These are genuine fishermen. They have boats and everything. But they are not being listened to, and this is also one of their complaints, that everything is in English and they can't understand it. And, you know, I think you must make a better effort. You are really not doing what you're supposed to do. Thank you.
Mr. Sting.
Thank you, Chair. I will not go on the language thing again. I tend to agree. Especially, Chair, as I said earlier, it's a person's livelihood. If he knows that he's not going to make it because he couldn't understand the document well enough and he struggled to fill it in, we are failing the people, Chair. That's all that I want to say on that. Chairperson, I'm still on this SAMHSA thing and the boats. I'm not convinced by what I was told here. Maybe it's also because I don't understand the process. We were told that the vessel is ready, and there was this extra requirement from SAMHSA on the training of the personnel. So does this mean that this vessel is approved? It's there. It can go. The only reason why it's not going, the IVPs, IPVs, the only reason why they're not going is because we are waiting for the training of this personnel now that needs to go onto the vessel. But the two cannot work without each other. The vessel can't move without these specific trained personnel that must go on them. They are locked together. That's what I need to establish. Or is there still something on the vessels that has not been approved by SAMHSA? Because it doesn't make sense to me. It's just maybe because I don't understand it. If it's that the two need to go together and they must all be one team and package, maybe then I can understand it. But, Chair, I'm not convinced out of this explanation that the department has had the best interests of this country at heart when the applications of the process, as I said earlier, when did the training part come into play? When were the department made aware that the personnel was supposed to be trained that needs to be going onto this thing, and that's a new requirement from SAMHSA? In all these months while you were trying to get the vessels ready, did you never know that? It just doesn't make sense to me, but maybe, I don't know, I couldn't blame the place where I went to school. Unfortunately, or fortunately, Chair, I also went to school in Afrikaans in a very small place. I'm not saying that I'm too worried about that, but maybe that's why one of the reasons why I can't understand it is I'm also trying to struggle to read something in English, and the explanation, we are two Afrikaans people trying to speak to each other in English, and maybe we are missing the point here. That's maybe the problem here, Chair. So I'm just having sympathy with the poor fisherman that needs to fill in these forms, and the same thing. Sitting with Afrikaans people, giving them an English form and trying to explain to them how to fill this thing in English. And, yeah, Chair, we must maybe, yeah, toy about this thing now. Yes.
I only speak English in self-defense.
Chairperson, I'm also not convinced on the answer of Gharib Dan. Unfortunately, I could not make it last week with my colleagues, or 2 weeks ago, 10 days ago, to Gharib Dan. But I live there. I've been there myself, and I will go there again next week just to satisfy myself. There is no operation there. If there is something there, it's very small scale and it has been going on all these years. It happened even before the building was built. There was something happening before that. I was also told that the minister signed this contract a while ago, although that it was not signed last when we were there, this thing of that it wasn't signed came up again. You have now just mentioned that they are busy with two fishing things there, and I still can't remember the other one, but tilapia was mentioned again. Tilapia cannot be fished in the Free State, although maybe something happened in the last week that decision was taken by the Department of the Free State, the Environmental Department, and you got approval that you are fishing with it. But they are definitely not doing anything with tilapia at Gharib Dan. I'm just worried that sometimes that's why we do oversight. We go out to go and check for ourselves, because when we come here, we get stories. We get nice paperwork, and people tell us things, and we take that as the honest truth. But when we go on oversight, we find something else. And it confuses us, Jay, when we are on oversight, because someone tells us something, and then we come back a week later, and then we hear another story again. Then we are confused. But what I will do, Chair, is I will ask written questions on all these things that I still don't know. I want to know what was the original contract with the Chinese government? Was it to breed tilapia? If that has now changed from the original contract, is there a new contract in place? And is it that contract that is now being signed, or... And what is going to happen to that building? Is it going to be put into full use? Because I know that tilapia is not being fished with there at the moment. And what the community there told me when I went there on my own oversight, unfortunately not with the committee, is that the design is for tilapia, and they could not easily fish with something else there because the water and the flow and the something is different. But I will go back there and I will still ask questions, Chair, but I'm just concerned that when we come here, we hear something that's different from when we were there. And I want to know if the department has been there and seen it for themselves, and they know for a fact that it's operational, or someone just told them it's operational.
I forgot to, you know, to comment on Mr. Van Dalen's concerns. You know, they remind me of the recent election in Zimbabwe, and I could really feel him thungarizing this process. You know, people, when they go to court, you know, you're preempting, you know, the result. That's what happened in Zimbabwe. You know, before election, everybody thungarai and the worst, you know. Go to court, you know, this process is not going to be fair. And But the issue about language is a fair one for all intents and purposes. You know, I so wish we could find a way, best way possible out of this whole process. Because you see, much as you are saying, you know, there are an independent auditing firms who are going to assist these communities. The reality is that people, when they have to apply for anything, they take the forms and they go away with the forms. And they do whatever, all in the name of applying. But in that process, they make use of consultants. Much as you are to say these independent auditing firms, they are there to assist. I guess it has become part of the norm that the fishing communities or the fishing companies make use of those consultants. And all along we are saying here, and we continue to say, let's cut out that middle person. Because if you are to say you are doing this for 70% of which are your small-scale fishing communities, you are already disadvantaging them by saying consultants indirectly. I think we need to, I don't know how, but we need to seriously look into this question of the language. Already the forms are out there and people have been, you know, fetching the forms. Tomorrow is the last day. I don't know also what message and awareness campaign that you shall have had so that those communities are able to go back to your offices for assistance. We should applaud you for having really been able, you know, to decentralize this process so that you don't have your Cape Town offices, you know, people coming and flocking the offices. I think we should applaud you on that one. And again, that assistance of your independent auditing firms, there has to be, there must be, you know, a process wherein you engage, you know, in a public awareness program so that the communities go back to those decentralized centers that you have established. I just thought, let me just pick on that one. You make me worried, Mr. Van Dalen, when you are to consistently come up, you know, with the court issue without having to prejudge the situation, because that's exactly what happened in Zimbabwe. And my man, Uncle Bob, won, you know, with a landslide victory. yeah, sorry, Mr. Banga.
I want to come with a way forward in relation to this thing of marine vessels. I think we must be practical now. They are saying to us by September the marine vessels will be sailing. Asking them. Therefore, I would want to request that they give us a date. On the day that they're saying that thing is leading away, that will be sailing on that date, we must be there on that day. On that day that they're saying Ruth West will be sailing, we must be there. You know why I'm saying that? The Premier of Mpumalanga went to launch a housing project. When he arrived there, there were no houses. Have you heard about that? Have you seen it? He went on my bus to launch there. A housing project, there are no houses. I want us also to go there to see that Helen Ngoyi will be sailing. Then when we arrived there, that there are no sailing, we're able to say, but you said they are sailing. I think we've been talking about this. I've reached a stage where I'm sick and tired of the situation. But on behalf of the nation, let's go there, Chair. It's fortunate, I think the period is around when there's going to be recess, September. We go and monitor each and every vessel on the date that they are saying it's sailing. That's a way forward in relation to that. On the Harib Dam, Chair, it's unfortunate that you see this, when we're closing our oversight there, amongst other things we agreed on, because in terms of our visit there, there's no possibility that in 2 weeks there can even physically be people there. when we were there, this was just a building, just open building. It's a good project. I can't lie, it's a very beautiful, good project, because its purpose is to give support to the emerging fishing communities, in particular in relation to aquaculture, one, training, and also laboratory test. It's a good initiative between the two countries, which we should at least compliment. But the problem there, Meneer, was not only, it's not only the, you don't expect to have tilapia by now there. There won't be tilapia there, because there's still an environmental impact assessment. Even the catfish arrangement, it's not even approved that you are going to have a catfish. Now, if you're saying to me, it's operational, what is operational? Even the Chinese, I'm telling you, they are not there. As I'm speaking with you, our South African officials are not there. I think it's lack of information that you have presented to us. I don't want to say you are not telling us the truth, but it's lack of information. I think what we should do in a very constructive way, that we need a report. Well, on what do you mean when you say it is in operation? Because that environmental impact assessment in relation to tilapia, I think it would not have been finished by now. Because the main problem on that tilapia issue is that whether it is not going to flow to the rivers there, because it is a foreign species. The biological part of it, whether it grows in the Free State, we've seen the catfish there in the other fish pond when they put the temperatures correctly to 26% to 30%. It can be done. It can live there because as long as there's correct equipment, I think the doctor can say that to support that thing. But the main problem was on environmental impact assessment. But what we can do is that we need a report, not from the head or from the hip type of, because we're there, we've seen it ourselves, that there's no possibility that it is functioning now. Chairperson, I want to know, and particularly in the Eastern Cape, I'll be going to the Eastern Cape this weekend and this week. One, this aquaculture project that you're saying as government is supporting. But please, if those details can be emailed to me, for me to be able to go and see to all of us. Where is it? Because I think the report you are giving us, Chair, if you look into this report, these are private, some of the 31, some are private initiatives. They are not government-based. And it's very clear, Chairperson, that we need a session with the department for them to brief us on their plans for aquaculture. That policy cannot sit in the cabinet for this long. It has been. I received that policy like in February from the minister. But if you're still sitting there, we're not going to. This total disaster in terms, there's no work we're doing in South Africa in as far as aquaculture is concerned. Therefore, we need to hear from you the plans that we are putting in place to make sure that we improve from this. We have zero in the Eastern Cape, like literally nothing. In terms of these farms, we do not have more than four that government is supporting, I think nationwide, if you read this. That's what I'm saying. We need something tangible for you to come in and say, what is it that we're going to do in South Africa in terms of addressing fish farming? Therefore, for me, Chair, those were the few things. At least we must suggest a way forward now to begin to say this is what we want to achieve. But we can't miss September and the Lilian Goy. We must go and see those things.
I guess we shall be on those boats.
Yes.
And anybody who shall have been troubling me mustn't come close to me. Right in the middle of the sea.
Sorry, Chair, maybe we must first get training, maybe, to get on the boat. Samsa.
Sir, Mr. Abram, I saw your hand. Okay, Mr. Kelly.
No, thanks, Chairperson. I'll start by thanking the acting PDG for apologizing unreservedly for what he had said. I think all of us heard what he said. So there's no need for us when we talk now, referring to what he had said earlier. I don't think it is correct. Secondly, Chair, you know, as we are talking here, I'm just thinking, I'm saying to myself, if these things were done 342 years ago, we're not going to be talking about them now. If we did them 342 years ago, or even in 46 years ago, we're not going to talk as we are talking. In what I'm saying, I'm trying to say that, yes, there are challenges in the department. We can see, all of us, that there are challenges. But they are trying their level best to correct what was happening in the past. We should not neglect the thing that it did happen. That these things that are sitting with us here are the legacy of what was happening previously. 342 years ago and also 46 years ago. Having said that, Chair, the tender that went out, I'm not sure whether it does talk to the skill transfers. If you can get that from the department. Thanks, Chair.
To an extent that the general service level agreements that will have to be applied. We have just had a very bad situation with Smita Mandla. To an extent, you know, some of those boats that we had to go see at what is that base? Samuelstown. And nobody had any recourse. You know, we were shown by the Navy the state in which they received Afrikaner and the amount of work that they were doing in repairing that boat. And to an extent, the extent in which that boat, Smita Mandla, received and the amount of damages that were incurred during the period in which Smita Mandla was in charge of that boat. And for a company just to get away with murder like that, I think the issue raised by Mr. Kwela is very, very relevant. They receive the boats in which state, and they must bring it in a state that is better, because we do not want a situation of the nature that we had with Smita Mandla. At the end, nobody had to take responsibility of the damages that were caused. Okay. I think we are almost ready for lunch.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Chairperson, we have been asking for those reports, because the reports that we have been getting was that Smita Mandla, they delivered those boats in a working condition to the Navy. And then they were lying there for a period of 6 to 7 to 8 months, and then they degenerated into a state of which they are now, because they were not operated. So we've never had a report here that said that those boats were in that condition when they were received from Smita Mandla. So I think for you to make that assertion that Smita Mandla is getting away with murder because they delivered boats that was in not a working condition is also not right. I mean, then we must go get those reports. We did get reports where the survey was done, and according to those reports, I could see that everything was okay. It was ticked off. Those ships were working. They might not have been perfect because the department didn't allow certain work to happen, because they would have been invoiced for it, and the department says, no, don't do that repairs. It's too expensive. You must make do with what you have at the moment. So it's not a case where you can just blame Smita Mandla.
Unless you've got something to do with Smita Mandla. What we saw with our naked eyes, yes, are pictures of a boat before they received, and with our own eyes the repairs that were done on the boat. That's what we saw. That's what I'm talking about.
I agree with you, Chairperson, but then we must interrogate that information. We can't just make assumptions now. What you saw was a picture of a boat that was not at sea for a long time. It was a museum boat, what they showed us, the pictures. It wasn't the boat that they had when it was brand new. And then they had a boat that was at sea that was doing about 200 days at sea a year, which obviously will have rust on it and will have problems. But it was working. This is what the problem was when they handed it over. And then it became into a state of disrepair when it was in dock.
Maybe we shouldn't have a dialogue on this matter.
No, but then you mustn't say what you said, please, Chairperson.
No.
Because
it's unfair of you to say that. No.
If we don't have the facts.
No. Today. Can you stop talking now? I repeat. What the Navy showed us are pictures, and what we later saw with our own eyes was something different. That's what I am saying. That's what I continue to say. A report is something else. That's what we are talking about here. We're talking about service level agreements. Any new company that comes play, there must be very clear terms as and when they are going to get those boats to manage them, as to what is their responsibility and what is the responsibility of the department. That's all what we're saying, making a reference to previous experiences of Smita Mandla. As to what the report says, we don't know. But that's what we are saying here, from that experience. I think that's a point raised by Mr. Cele, that whatever happens now going forward, there must be very clear terms as to an understanding of who is expected to play what role. Having gotten those vessels from what state, bringing them back to the department at what state. Now, that's the only thing that we're saying here. Well, Mr. Abram, then I take it, members, that after Mr. Abram, we shall be expected responses from the department and thereafter go to lunch. The lunch is going to be served at the Old Assembly. We're going to be seated and all of us are invited. The lunch has been prepared for 50 people. In anticipation of a number that was touted by Mr. Van Dalen to us, that it's going to be 50 people here. Mr. Abram?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, just one or two observations and an appeal. You are absolutely right that one needs to go deeper into what happened with the handover of the vessels, what was the state when it was handed over, and what is happening there now. Whether you're going to get down to the truth or not is another matter. But I think we must remind ourselves, Chair, that there is a culture in our country that is developing where anything that the government contracts out or whatever, and there is a misdemeanor, and that there is wrongdoing, well, you know, nobody gets into hot water. People get away with it. Whether it's Smita Mandla, whether it's an errant official who did not oversee or do the job properly, everybody gets a slap on the wrist and it's then forgotten. In the process, Chair, we are losing not millions, but billions across the board throughout all departments. And we need to see that where the departments that we oversee, that they have systems in place. I mean, there must be some or other form of vigilance on the part of the officials that are entrusted to take care of the implementation of contracts, that those contracts are adequately carried out, that value for money is received. We need to do that, Chair. Chairperson, I'm a bit worried about the applications process. And I want to ask a specific question, that the distribution process has started on the 22nd of July. Today is the 15th of August, and it ends tomorrow on the 16th. Is there any chance, given the fact...
Sorry, distribution of what?
The distribution process, the application forms distribution process. Given the fact that the people that are involved are by and large ordinary, simple South Africans who may not have access to the kind of technology and that sort of stuff, whether there's any chance that this date will be extended. I just want to know whether that is at all possible. Chairperson, regarding the assertion that was made that fine, you know, even if the people don't put in the correct info or whatever, they will be assisted and things like that. That would be a very dangerous gray area, Chair. And, you know, I always believe that a bad settlement is better than a good court case. I don't like courts. But one must accept that there may be a tendency for people to go to the courts because someone was assisted with incorrect information. So that possibility exists, Chair. We must not leave it out of the equation. We need to see that the people understand, and therefore the language issue is very important, that the people understand exactly and that the I's have been dotted and the T's have been crossed. Otherwise, Chair, we will again open ourselves up to a litigation process which will have no winners. It will only be losers, Chair. And finally, Chair, it is said here that Government Gazette number 36675 of 17 July contains the policies, simplified application forms with accompanying explanatory notes, and the distribution and the receipting venues and dates. It was published in Government Gazette number 36675. Now, unfortunately, Chair, you know, the Government Gazette is the last document that we all look at. So may I just ask our secretariat whether extracts of this cannot be made available to us so that we also can judge what is exactly being called for in those application forms. But at the end of the day, Chair, we must all remind ourselves that the individual, the child of God, is the touchstone of value. This society and this state exists because there are individuals. So we need to see, Chair, that the right of the individual is not violated in any way. Some people will say, well, it's not an excuse if that person did not understand. But we must realize, Chair, that for a variety of reasons in the past, our people are still at the receiving end of the service delivery, which in certain instances, unfortunately, is still highly questionable, the level thereof. And this is service delivery, Chair. We need to deliver quality services to our people so that they understand exactly what they are letting themselves in for, what is required of them, what the consequences are. And I think, Chair, that the sort of officials that the department says it will have in place to explain to prospective applicants must be the kind of people who are imbued with an understanding of the background of the people and who are imbued with sympathy so that they can guide these people properly, Chair. Because Fisher folk, unfortunately, have not had the opportunity, the majority of them, of a very high level of education. And we need to assist these people, Chair. Thank you.
Ms. Abram, I'm tempted to
disagree.
To say that you cannot make a statement that says the level of service agreement is service of level of service agreement. Did you say the service?
No, the service, the level of service delivery.
Yes, that's you're correct. Is highly unquestionable.
In certain instances, it is. That's what I said. Yeah. And I stand by it.
I think it's a misplaced statement. At the most. It's quite a very seriously misplaced statement. And an unfortunate one. Okay, Mr. Stevens.
Let me start. Thank you very much, Honourable Chairperson, and members, for those questions. Let me start with with this issue about the language and the application form. I'm not sure if we're understanding each other. We are facing with two choices. Either we make the application forms in all of the 11 languages, because it's not only Afrikaans. Because if it's a public process, then people can apply in all of the 11 languages. No? But the practicality of that, honorable members, is it would take us years to assess application forms, because we need to get the honorable chairperson, can you protect me? We have translated the forms in the four coastal languages. The forms are translated. If you go to Port St. John's and you say, I want to have to see and be helped in the isiZulu or isiXhosa form, the form will be available. And you will have the officials who speak those languages patiently explaining to everyone what is the content of the form. It's an administrative process which we require that the forms must be in English. But the forms to be explained is in the language that people understand. Now, I'm not sure, honourable chairperson, if that is the expectation that we have received. We have been engaging with all of these communities. We engage with them on a daily basis. That this is our bread and butter work, trying to assist. I would have hoped I could have brought how the process was in 2005. You had a form where you could only apply in certain sectors on the internet through email. You had a form which were 40 pages. You had a form which were only in English in 2005. We have moved from that original process. We have reduced the forms to 7 to 10 pages. We have now make the forms available that you don't have to submit it. You don't have to have internet. You don't have to have email to submit these forms. You get a venue. At this venue that we're talking about, maybe also just for clarity, two of the officials of the department sits there. Sometimes it's three, and there's a team leader also. They are the ones that must assist the applicants, potential applicants. The independent auditor is the monitoring entity to ensure that what we do is transparent and it's fair. They are not involved in any of the processes. Their role is to document that this process that we are doing is fair and transparent. And they will then give us a report and say, in KwaZulu-Natal, we've documented this number of forms that were given. There was these problems that are there. And every day, if we heard there's a problem in any area, we have also a what we call a operation center where experienced officials can be called to go to a specific area to assist. The practicality of people submitting the forms in the 11 languages of South Africa, it is just not administratively practical for us. But we share the honorable members' views that people must be made, because this is their livelihoods, must be made to understand what is in the... That's why we've reduced the forms. And many of the lots of the information is already, because some of the people have been doing these things that are there. Every day we are engaging with them around, because it's not, there's going to be new people who don't understand anything, but there are people who are daily busy with this process. I'm not sure, Honorable Chairperson, you know, because I don't know if I make sense when I say the forms are translated. So if you see your form, what is said in Afrikaans is the one that's in English, but it's going to be difficult if for us to have thousands and thousands of applications in all of the languages of South Africa. That's going to take us a year to evaluate those, and it's going to be costly, and it's going to be very difficult for us to do that in a practical way. Honorable Van Dalen raised the issue about the public participation of the small scale. I don't know, Chairperson, maybe we are not clear around some of these things. And I would like to understand even further what are the issues that we are not clear. This public participation is a culmination of many other public participations that have taken place. In those let us isolate the small-scale fishery policy. It took 5 to 6 years to, in consultation with the national task team made up of all the relevant stakeholders, develop that policy. The policy was adopted. These relevant stakeholders then said to us, you must develop an implementation plan for that policy. We developed that implementation plan. It is now with us. But they said, on one condition, when you have developed that implementation plan, you must come and consult with us. This is the consultation that we are taking place next week, just on the implementation plan of the small-scale fishery. So we must separate the small-scale fishery policy from this long-term rights allocation process. As I said earlier, Honorable Chairperson, the small-scale fishery policy, with its implementation plan, for the minister to be empowered to allocate rights to small-scale fishing communities, the MRA must be amended. And that is the process that we are continuing. Maybe I should illustrate how we explain to the communities, illustrated in the following way. There are two road maps. The one road is the road that we are talking about, the long-term rights allocation process, which is a competitive process, which are advertised. It was in the Government Gazette, but it was in all of the newspapers in the country. It's this week in about 16 radio stations where people are explained about this long-term rights allocation process. Now, this road, we have these 18 centers where people is going to go to. They get explained, they get re-explained, they get assisted in that road. The other road, which is the roadmap 2, is the small-scale fishery process, which is a non-competitive process. It's a process that requires the amendment of the MLRA. All of them will culminate in the end of December to say, we are allocating these rights which people have competed for. So if you get a right on this road, you are not going to get small-scale fishing. If you qualify for small-scale, you are not get a, because that is a commercial road which we want to put this the small-scale fishing communities up. They are, maybe I must illustrate it also further to say, Dennis, are we talking about 190 communities? It's 160 small-scale communities that we have identified from Port Nolloth to Richards Bay, small-scale fishing communities. So I want to understand that we have gone through a public participation process where we've met plus minus 6,000 people. From the start of the process, which started the 11th of April, 11th of April, till today, with numerous public participation processes and different elements of this process. The dilemma that we have, if you now say that there's no closing date tomorrow of the application. It is just the receiving of the form. And that was from the 22nd, which is a reasonable time. 22nd of July to the 16th of August is a reasonable time for anyone that have interest to apply for fishing right to go and get a form. It was advertised. It was this week, we put it on the radio. So there's a plus minus 10,000 forms in these 8 sectors that are available for people to come and fetch. Have been collected. So that's the figure. Plus minus 10,000 forms has been collected. So out of that 10,000, all 10,000 people or entities or individuals can apply or whatever the, and they will have that 2 weeks to apply. From the 16th till the 2nd of September, it is still a time for them to get any clarity, any explanation, any assistance that they require for them to make the application forms, the application. There was no, Honorable Chairperson, there was no sit-in of military veterans in our offices. I think maybe there was wrong information. We have met with military, Marine Anti-Poaching Project constituency at several times, but after broad consultations around this, we have decided that because this project was a project that we put out on tender, the applicants that we have received was, or the applications that we received was ridiculously huge amounts of money that was not budgeted for. Some of the people that applied, the tender price was 1 billion rand, others were 200 million rand and so on. So we decided because of that price, we're going to stop, we're going to cancel that that process. We then subsequently negotiated with the Department of Military Veterans to say, as the responsible department to deal with military veterans, you must take over this project. Now, that negotiations is still continuing, but administratively, and we have decided to stop the project for now.
and those are the things that we've negotiated with the military veterans that worked, because we also didn't want to just to extend the contract indefinitely with a specific service provider. We, Honorable Chairperson, we are quite aware of the fissures in Mitchell's plain. In fact, the whole Falls Bay, we work with them. They are part of our interaction, and I think there are fissures in Mitchell's plain, Kailitsa, Makassa, Strand, Somerset West, Gordon's Bay. So the whole Falls Bay are working up Musenberg to, up to Cold Bay. So I think we thank Honorable Van Dalen to share with us, but I think we are working with those fishers that are there. And they, as any other fishers, have the right to apply for these rights that are available. The SEMSA or the vessel issue. Honorable Steyn, you were very warm because your summary was better than mine. These things are interrelated. I'm going to try to speak slowly because you've expressed that both our English is not too good, Honorable Chairperson. Is that the vessel can only go to sea when the certification of the crew, which have all of the previous qualifications, it's not new people that we're talking about. SEMSA just said on two specific matters that this crew must go for this 2 week. They've gone for this 2 week training. The training stops today, the 15th. So they've gone for and the training is to do with rescue and I'm not sure what in proficiency introduction to survival craft course and a fast rescue craft course from the 5th till the 15th of August. So they have gone through this training. Now, I just got a message here. This is going to be the green light. There's no work that must be done on these vessels anymore. So this will be the green light. If SEMSA, now look at the performance of our people on this course. Tomorrow we are meeting with them, our officials are meeting with them, and say they've done this course. If they give us the green light, the certificate, then Victoria Mthenge and Ruth First is ready to go. So I don't know, maybe I must pause on that two vessels only, because I think there's a way we are not either not explaining properly or I think we are not understanding each other around these things. So it's nothing to do with blaming SEMSA or blaming us. That two vessels, or maybe I must explain this also in the following way. When the vessel goes on the dry dock, and this Darman shipyards assess what is wrong, what must be done, they get us our permission and say, "Let's, you can proceed, because we have discovered these valves and that whatever is wrong," they proceed. Simultaneously, we engage with SEMSA. We speak with them on a weekly basis and say, "Lloyds have done the survey. This is, they approved of the survey. Can you give the certification for this particular matter?" So each of the vessels, there are multiple parties that are involved. They are not waiting till we finish. They are part of the inspection processes while we repair the vessels. Honorable Banga, you, I think we want to, because I know I'm in a hiding for to nothing. If I say on the 30th of September, these vessels will be ready, and if it's not ready on the 31st, then I'm going to be blamed to be lying, to be fired. What I have done is to call these companies in, also by your advice the last time, to say to him, there are some of those costs which you can't upfront say
this, because some of the parts must be ordered from wherever. But they've given us now a broad deadline which speaks to that end of September issue for most of the vessels. Remember, there are two which are not talking about the end of September. Florence McKeezy, that's a bit longer. But I would like to appeal to the chairperson, to the committee, because of this fluidity of this thing which we can't control, that we don't commit ours on a specific date. You will be the first, as I promised the last time, you will be our first guest when these vessels are saleable. And it's also, we don't want one vessel at a time and then we make a big thing of it. We want to see most of these vessels being repaired, certified, and then we can jointly go and come and
Chairperson, no, I think we must not be played now. I think on this, the Mr. Stephen must not. You see here, our duty is doing oversight and monitoring. Now we want to go and monitor. Now we can't be told that it's becoming fluid now. There are deadlines that are given here. What I'm saying is that if you said to us September, don't just say September. To us, September means that day we'll get that vessel, we'll get into that vessel. I don't care how many, you understand? But if the one who are promised, we must go and look that it's failing. Now, if we are changing that statement now, meaning we're not ready, I'm correct, the first assertion I made that we're not ready. We can't be told now that there might be fluidity on this. That's exactly the point for the past 2 years we've been asking.
I almost got interested on the blade, but that's for another session. you are saying September.
So we're saying estimated operational dates is September.
Uh-huh.
Some of them. These two I'm talking about, I am more than convinced that by next week, if my meeting with Samsa, I even forgot the name now, is proceeding well tomorrow, then there's two. You are talking about those others in September. And I said it is estimated operational dates. So I'm pleading with the committee.
I'm tempted, Mr. Stevens, that, to an extent, we even schedule a joint session with the Committee on Transport, wherein SAMHSA comes. So that, that's how we dealt with the labeling issue. As we speak now, we are informed that there is a process in motion of having to establish a dedicated agency. To an extent, it does not even get to be confined to meat. You also have food in general terms. Health Department, Trade and Industry, Agriculture are now together establishing that agency. It had to be pushed to a point where that happened. It's a simple matter that we're dealing with. It will not require us to come and sit and convene a joint session wherein transport brings some sound board and that we are able to say, yes, we have an agreement, we are going forward. It must not get to that point. I think that's the point that members are saying. To an extent, we should actually be saying, October, the first week, should be a warm period in our country where we go on that boat ourselves as a committee. How does that sound?
I agree. I agree.
Afrikaner is said to be having its own challenges. Yeah. These two, Bing, Victoria Mbange,
and Rufus.
And Rufus. That's what we are dealing with.
Yeah.
What we are saying is that beginning of October, we are all going to be invited to sail on that boat. Because the department is saying sometime in September, but we are saying give room first week of October. Can we have that formal invitation from the department?
I will gladly extend that invitation, Chairperson. Thank you very much. I want to also maybe request the Honourable Committee around the suggestion that Honourable Member Banga made about the issue about Gariep Dam, that we provide you with, and I think also Honourable Steyn raised a number of issues, that we provide you with a detailed report on the status of the Gariep Dam. You decide how soon you would want that, because I think it is going to be better that we have a detailed report on this matter for the honourable members, which would also assist us to get some of these gremlins sorted out that is in this project. I would highly appreciate if you are so kind to allow us to do it. I think the other issues, I think I can concede.
They close at 2.
Say again?
They close at 2. You have 5 minutes.
Yeah, no, I'm finished. I'm trying to find by Honorable Abrams. I think he always gives us very wise counsel about our shortcomings and where we can improve. And I agree with Honorable Abrams that our intention must always to give value for money around the services that we, to get value for money for the services that we require. I am maybe with the 750 people that works in fisheries. We are in a process to work, and myself by leading by example, that we become more responsive to the issues of what yourselves, esteemed committee, is raising, but also most importantly, what our communities are raising. We are not there yet. We want to become a branch that is part of a department that is more and more accessible, responsive, living up to our constitutional requirements and mandates. So please be assured that even this harsh counsel that you give us, we take it in the spirit that you are trying to assist us to improve service delivery in our country. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Members, we had a very fruitful session. Obviously, it's work in progress. A number of things shall still have to be followed up on. But also what became very clear is that despite all the challenges that are there, there is a greater amount of work that is done in terms of improvement We did highlight on a few of those, decentralization among others, assistance in filling of the forms. Obviously, we cannot trungarai this process. We shall allow it to go on and see what emerges at the end of the day. The language issue continues to be a challenge, I must be quite frank with you. And we need to really get around it. I must mention that a statement that says, you know, it will take us a year to look into these forms if they were to come, you know, in 11 languages, I think equally that is quite an unfortunate one as well, because these things are not impossible. If an effort is brought into it, they happen. The fishing harbors is a matter that is ongoing. We are agreed that we need to engage with other committees on transport, trade and industry, environment committee to address the disasters that continue unabated at sea waters. And then, of course, we are quite supportive of the extra income for that Africana boat. I think those are the key issues that had emanated out of this session. Of course, you know, I did not mention all of them. As I said, it is work in progress. We continue to engage with the department on a whole range of these issues. I think we are somewhere. We are agreed that we should be able to come back to go and take a ride on those vessels. Beginning of October, Mrs. Day. Less than a minute.
Yes, Jane. I still just need one yes or no. The SAMHSA thing, if it's approved tomorrow, can those ships go and assist? Because we're sitting with a crisis chair and we're discussing when we are going on a boat trip in September. I want to know if they have had the meeting with SAMHSA tomorrow, will the assistance happen? Because I understand that we are waiting for those ships.
Are you able to quickly?
I'm not able to definitively, but I think in our image,
let's put it this way.
Because we can't volunteer.
Let's put it in this way. Let's get to hear what transpired out of the SAMHSA meeting tomorrow. Can we approach it in that fashion? In other words, after tomorrow, we get a call and we communicate that to members. Okay, can we get those two responses tomorrow? If you can just have them in writing through to us, Mr. Stevens, just on those two. Okay, members, thanks for the time, and everybody else, and the meeting's adjourned.
Adjourned.